You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of Primetime Action, live from the South Point. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, and Kelly Bidlin, considering doing a documentary for the next year where he chases a squirrel around. One squirrel, not squirrels, a particular squirrel, just like that octopus documentary.
One squirrel. Just a couple of nuts trying to find a home in this world.
You have to wear your flannel shirts, though, when you do this. Full long pants.
Hey, what's that? What are those hats that have like the flaps? You know, like the warmed flaps?
We're not producing VSiN shows, Kelly Bidlin.
I watched the trailer for your octopus show. It looks weird. Looks really weird.
It's fascinating.
Listen, the VSiN Plus subscription was worth it for that break right there. And I got to be
tonight.
I'm totally not making fun here. I'm being completely serious. I feel smarter.
Yes.
Right now. About hockey than I've ever felt in my whole life.
Because watch what he can do now. You ready for this? Because he just learned this in the last 5 minutes. Ready? Yes. Watch the circus tricks we can do with Matt Brown. Conn Smythe.
That is the playoff MVP.
Correct.
Yes.
Hart.
Is just the regular MVP.
Jack Norris Trophy.
Is the defenseman of the year.
Vezina.
The goalie of the year.
Jack Adams.
Coach of the year.
And what's that one you said?
The Frank J. Selke Trophy.
No, the Calder is Rookie of the Year.
Calder's Rookie of the Year.
And
right.
The Frank J. Selke Trophy.
And you knew none of that five minutes ago.
No.
He's avoiding the Selke Trophy question.
You can take
it. It's the last one, bro.
Again, if you can't bet on it at DraftKings, it's not a real
award. This is like the Steph Curry that plays the best defense.
In transition.
Yeah.
It's the forward who demonstrates the most skill in the defensive component of the game.
Well, it's the 3-and-D.
Award. Yeah, there you go.
It's the 3-and-D award.
You can take the boy out of Louisiana, but you can't take hockey out of the boy. I think that's how that expression goes.
It's something like that, but
I'm
pretty proud of myself, guys.
I'm
pretty proud of myself.
Yeah, that was an educational break. You're right.
It really was.
Kelly, let's update all the scores.
Yeah, we got NBA, one game going on right now on TNT. Mavericks lead the Nets 34-26. Mavericks, a 3.5-point live favorite, 210.5 live total. I might look to get in on this live. Not yet, but maybe soon. Over in the NHL, we got a few games in action. Predators up on the Red Wings, 2-0, 17.5 minutes left in the second period. Predators minus 900 live. Red Wings plus 500, 5.5 your live total. Lightning lead the Canadiens, 1-0. Lightning minus 550. Montreal plus 350, 4.5. The live total shaded to the over. Islanders Senators 0-0. Second period just getting started. Islanders minus 160 live. Senators plus 120. 3.5 live total in that game. Maple Leafs all over the Blue Jackets. 3-0 in the first intermission. And the Ducks and Sabres scoreless in the first intermission. Ducks minus 145 live. Sabres plus 110. 4.5. Your live total. We got one ranked college basketball game going on right now. Texas Tech and Tennessee squaring off. That game is at the half. Texas Tech up 29-25. Tennessee. Actually, let me check here on these live lines. I'm seeing 1 point both ways at different shops on this game at DraftKings.
You had one job, man. One job.
No, it looks like you could find it 1 point either way. So DraftKings has it Texas Tech 1.5 live and 125.5 is
there
live.
There you go.
Total. But it looks like you could find 1 point live favorite on either side if you shop around.
Couple of notes for the Thursday game. Christian Darrisaw for the Vikings did not practice today. He's their left tackle. Not great. Probably won't be playing on Thursday. Adam Thielen didn't practice. That was pretty much known that he wasn't going to be able to make it back after that ankle sprain for him. So it doesn't look like he's going to be able to go.
But Dalvin Cook did?
But Dalvin Cook limited practice today.
Weird.
So there is at least that. And then Anthony Barr, linebacker who missed this past week for the Vikings, said that he's playing. He said he's playing.
I'm still trying to figure out what the heck happened with this Rams-Cardinals thing this afternoon. I'm scoring at a minus 128 money line at Circa right now, Gil, on the Cardinals.
Let's go.
I ran away 2.5 last night.
Mm-hmm.
So glad I got that bet in already.
Patrick Peterson also off of the COVID list for the Vikings as well. So he would be back.
You know what that hockey award thing does beg the question of, though? Like, it's very Canadian. It's a very hockey thing to name your trophies after people. So, like, we don't... I guess, like, the National League Rookie of the Year is named the Jackie Robinson NL Rookie of the Year, but we never refer to it that way, right?
There's a lot, right, in the U.S.-based sports, right, that are like that. Where they do have a name, but we call them Coach of the Year, Player of the Year, whatever.
Are the NFL ones named after anybody? I don't know that they are. Are they?
I mean, I don't know, but you got the Lombardi Trophy. You do have stuff, the Lombardi Trophy. Like,
but, like, I mean, imagine.
But we don't call them anything. Yeah. I mean, there might be, like, some sort of honorary thing behind the scenes that we, whatever. Right. Like, we don't call them anything.
I mean, you have the Naismith Award, college basketball.
We do have that. But those are for the whole title, what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The Trevor Maddich Long Snapper Award. Like, we don't have that kind of thing in this country.
The Lou Rosa Award, Kicking Award.
Oh, that's true.
There are. Okay. I mean, there are. They're just not as nearly as popular.
I made up the Trevor Maddich.
We would just call them the best defensive player.
Yep.
Trevor Maddich.
I just made that one up. I don't know. All right, so we did AFC yes-nos earlier. Let's do NFC yes-nos to make the playoffs. These courtesy of DraftKings. And again, for the smooth taste, we've removed the first five teams here. The five that we've said are going to make the playoffs for 2 months now. Nothing has really poked a hole in that. Cowboys, Packers, obviously the Cardinals and the Rams and the Buccaneers. Though the Cowboys are the one of those teams that isn't as clear as the others. Washington still controls its division and playoff destiny. So we go from 6-7, which is Washington, the Niners, all the way down to 12, which is the Saints. All these teams have 6 or 7 losses. Scrum for the final two. And you'll see that their remaining strength of schedules, with the possible exception of the Panthers and the Falcons there, they're all kind of middling. So,
just because they're listed here, now before I lose this thought,
yes.
After that little nugget that I just read, please. It kind of triggered something for me. So I went and looked. So it does not look like Adam Thielen's going to play in this game.
Oh, sorry.
It seems pretty obvious that he's not going to play in this game on Thursday for the Vikings. They posted the player props over at DraftKings right now. So KJ Osborne is listed at 41.5 receiving yards. They can't throw to Justin Jefferson every single time. Like, that is, to me, seems low. Of course, I haven't run projections yet. I don't, but it's just off the cuff. That seems pretty low for the secondary receiver there for this team that, again, I think it's still I could not imagine Dalvin Cook is going to play this week, even with him being back limited at practice this week.
The reports I read today, it made it seem like it was a positive sign for him to return next week.
Yeah.
Is what they made it out to be.
So, again, just kind of a thought off the top of my head. I imagine this number is going to run at least a few yards, because it seems to me like it's fairly obvious that Thielen's not going to go. And KJ Osborne then just is the de facto number two receiver there for the Vikings, who throw a ton and are not going to have Dalvin Cook. So, again, just I wanted to get that out there before while I was thinking
about
it.
Are we prepared to say, and I know this is not mathematically factual what I'm about to ask, but are we prepared to say that if the Vikings lose to the Steelers on Thursday that they are donezo?
If they lose to the Steelers, Mike Zimmer should be donezo.
Before even the end of the season.
Yes, they need to let it be known that this job is open, and whoever might want to have it can come and get it with a quarterback that's played pretty good this year, one of the best young receivers in the game, one of the best running back duos in the game. Like, there are things that you would like as a head coach coming into this Viking situation, and Zimmer has just mismanaged this team completely. This team should be 7-5 minimum right now.
Minimum. 7 losses by 28 total points, all by one score.
Now, minimum 7-5 right now.
They do have a few wins by one possession, but still.
So as we sit right now, Vikings are 3-point favorites over the Steelers on Thursday. So, I mean, if you believe that plays out, that puts them at 6-7. That is, I still think, a pretty tough climb for this team overall, for me. We were all over the Vikings. I liked the Vikings a ton, but it just seems to me like you look and it's like the Steelers, and yeah, okay, you get the Bears, but then you go Rams, Packers, right? Like back to back Rams, Packers. Seems like a couple losses to me. I don't know if we're going to get. It seems to me like one of either Washington or the Niners or the Eagles, somebody's going to finish with a winning record out of a couple of these guys.
Because that's the thing, right? So if you go 9-8, you're probably in.
You're probably in.
So if that's the case, we'll just take Washington. If that's the case, Washington has 2 against the Cowboys, 2 against the Eagles, 1 against the Giants. They can't go 3-2, split Cowboys, split Eagles, beat the Giants. Or however you want to say that,
right.
Swept Cowboys, sweep. I mean, they can go 3-2, no problem to me. I think they can beat the Cowboys in one of those two. this week would be the opportunity to do that.
The Niners still have the Falcons and the Texans.
Yeah, so they've got two banked,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. So they still have Falcons and Texans. We still don't know what state the Titans and in between those two games is a Titan game against the Titans, which again we still don't know what version of the Titans will have by then. How healthy will that team be? What will they look like? And again, they're only 1-point dogs in some places, you know, it's moving towards a pick 'em against Cincinnati this week. So I mean, like, I think it's a tough road for the Vikings regardless. Like,
I do too.
Regardless.
And then the Panthers, Falcons, and Saints, come on now. They're just not good football teams.
Right. They're bad.
And yet they're so in this.
I mean, you look at the Falcons. Every time we do this, we keep looking and we go, man, that Falcons team is so bad.
And yet they're there.
And yet they're
there. And they're there.
And they're there.
They're there.
Yeah.
With a very winnable game this week.
Look at the 30th remaining easiest schedule yeah, in the NFL they have.
If I had to make one bet, though, I think it's going. I'm getting plus money on Washington at this point. I think I'm going there.
I think that's it. I want to lay the minus 190 on the Niners too, but Jimmy G looks so bad on Sunday.
God. Man, we live in a world somehow where, like, it's possible the NFC East could get three teams into the playoffs.
That's a great way to call it. Like, yeah. That's amazing.
It's
how
true, though.
The heck? Yeah. Like, no, we would not. We did not see that at the beginning of the year. That's for sure.
That would be hilarious. If that ends up happening.
I really need that to happen now.
That would be very.
I want that to
cool.
happen so bad.
All right. Which division leaders do you trust the most? Which do you trust the least? We'll do the AFC that you trust the most next. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Primetime, Tuesday night from the South Point Hotel Casino. Gil, Matt, and Kelly. All right, the NFL prop cavalcade continues. This is good here. This is, we'll go from will they make the playoffs, yes, no's, which you did for both the AFC and the NFC now, to the AFC division leader that you trust the most. At least that's how we're calling it. But this is essentially odds to win, respective, or the division leader's odds to win the conference and the Super Bowl, if you will. So, current division leaders, Patriots, Ravens, Titans, Chiefs. And by the way, the current order of seeding is Patriots, Titans, Ravens, Chiefs as of this moment. Patriots are 3-1 to win the AFC. They are the short shot, along with the Chiefs, to win the AFC. The Chiefs slightly shorter to win the Super Bowl. Ravens 7-1 and 16-1 respectively. Titans 10-1 and 25-1 respectively. Now, the Titans should get Julio Jones back this week. A.J. Brown should be right around that corner. And by the way, next week would be the sixth week of Derrick Henry's absence. And if you remember when he first went down, the prognosis, the optimistic prognosis was 6 to 8 weeks. The more realistic one was 8 to 10 weeks. So we are getting around to the Derrick Henry window as well. Titans have an easy schedule coming up. So these are very interesting. Who do you trust the most? We know who you trust the least.
And the reason I kind of put it out like this for the AFC and NFC is we've all talked about, like, our own problems with almost all these AFC teams that are all division leaders currently. And meanwhile, in the NFC, it feels like we're all pretty confident in the division leaders, but not so much any of the wild card teams, except for maybe the Rams. So that's why we're doing it. Trust the most here, trust the least in the NFC.
Can I give you my boat, one of each?
Yes. Let's do one of each for everything.
Okay. The most, and as far as, like, that means to hold on and win their division.
Go further than the rest of these teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, the most, the Chiefs, and the least, the Titans.
The most, the Titans, for me. The least... Now we're talking about to win the division or just beyond?
To advance the furthest in the playoffs.
The most the Titans. Like, without question, the most the Titans. The least. Oh boy, that's tough.
I think it's tough.
Yeah, because you could see Lamar Jackson being great or terrible, right, in the playoffs. You could see the Patriots having a great matchup or a horrific matchup. Where Mac Jones has a rookie game.
So for me, right there, you just described that perfectly. My thinking too with those two teams. Titans have a little bit differently for you, but it's mainly just health. Yes. Did they really get everybody back?
Yes. And the Chiefs, for me, again, everybody loves to slurp the Chiefs, but show me something. I haven't seen it.
I mean, they keep winning.
Great. They look terrible on Sunday. Like, let's not be results-oriented. They look terrible.
But we're,
did I not watch that game? Like, what was I watching?
You're bullish on the Titans on a hope and a prayer.
No,
like,
I'm not.
Yeah,
it's not a hope and a prayer. The guys are coming back.
You don't know. You have zero idea if Derrick Henry's coming back.
No. The Derrick Henry part, for sure, I have zero idea. But the bet on the Titans is that if they get him back, they are and they get that number one seed, which is very easy.
That's a hope. Hold on.
Let's not interrupt. They've got the easiest schedule the rest of the way, as that's been the calculus of that bet from the beginning. They have had the easiest schedule because they beat all the hard teams early. So the Titans, the bet on the Titans is because of that calculus. Easy schedule, guys hopefully then come back, Henry, for the postseason. The Chiefs, at full strength, have looked terrible. They don't look good. So that's the hope and the prayer. I beg to differ. All of you loving the Chiefs, you're the guys with the hope and the prayer. You think you're going to get the old version of the Chiefs. None of us have seen it.
Well, this version of the Chiefs would beat this version of the Titans. I mean, they'd be favored by 10 points if they played right now. And so you are hoping.
Are we talking about today? Or are we talking about the AFC or the Super Bowl right now? I'm sorry, I missed the conversation.
We're
talking about the AFC and the Super Bowl.
There are still players missing that we have no idea when they're going to come back or what they're going to be like.
You just said I'm a hope and a prayer. What you're watching is a hope and a prayer. What I know on the field is not my version of the team I'm getting.
No, we have no idea what the Titans are going to look like. We have no clue.
I understand your point. You're not understanding mine. You said I'm the one with the hope and the prayer.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is what you're watching, your best version of your team is your hope and your prayer.
No,
you said you
have the most confidence in the Titans.
Yes, to win the AFC.
That's based off of a hope that these players come back.
Again, they have the easiest schedule, so as they get Julio Jones back this week, then they get A.J. Brown back, then they get Derrick Henry, the schedule allows them to go the furthest.
But we do not know they're going to get A.J. Brown
right,
back. We do not know they're going to get Derrick Henry back.
Yes, but what you don't
Julio Jones has played three games all
what
year.
What you don't know is your best version of your team is not good at all. So, like, I don't get how you think you're right here.
Because I know what I have.
Yes, it's not good. You know exactly what you have, and they're not good.
We're talking about who's going to go the furthest in the playoffs.
Yes, we are. Exactly, and I'm set up way better than you are.
How? You don't know what players you're going to have.
Again, the schedule is so...
You don't know what players you're going to have.
Again, you
what
can...
What am I missing here?
You're missing everything.
No!
You're missing everything.
It's who's going to go the furthest
in
the playoffs.
And you don't get that. Your team right now is mediocre. Guess who you're getting back? Nobody. So your team sucks in this group. Yeah, they're not good.
So
I got news for you.
If you don't have those three players back, you are still bullish on this Titans team.
No.
But
no.
Then that's what we're talking
about. No, we're asking about a bet. We're not asking about, like, when I made the bet to, let me try to explain this again, because you're not getting it.
No. We aren't talking about betting odds.
We never even brought up betting odds.
It's who do we think is going to advance the furthest in the playoffs.
Correct. And so, for me, the selection is still the Titans, because at full strength, that's the hope, right? At full strength, they're a better football team than the other teams.
That's still bait. But that's what all I was saying. That's based off of a hope. The hope
right.
is that they will be at
but
full strength, but we have no idea what they're
going to do. But the question here is who's going to get the furthest. Even if the Titans weren't at full strength, I wouldn't say the Chiefs here. I wouldn't. They're still not even my choice second.
So then it would be?
It would be Titans first, because at full strength, they're still the best to me. Right? You can if it all you want, but at full strength, we're talking about they're the best. And
who's
I would
both
say
both your second choices. This is actually interesting, too.
That would come down to who would get the number one seed. And so the number two choice has to be the Patriots, because they're in the driver's seat for the number one seed. This isn't about who you think is going to. It's not about, I think they're the best team. It's who's going to be positioned.
Who do you trust the most throughout to make a playoff run?
Who's going to get a free pass and not have to play a first game, which is your single biggest advantage in the postseason, right? Doesn't matter what I think, what you think, what Matt thinks. The biggest advantage in the postseason is you get to skip a game as the number one seed.
Totally agree.
So therefore, it's the Titans for me and the Patriots. That's why it's those two teams. Any other thing you're talking about is just your opinion. That's it's who gets the number one seed. Now, you can say they're going to get upset in the playoffs. That's great. We all have our opinions on that.
Sure.
But don't tell me that it's not the Patriots and the Titans right now based on seeding and schedules, because it is. Patriots have a bye, And the Titans essentially have a bye who they play this week.
As we sit today, I mean, there's still a quarter of the quarter of the season to be played.
Right, but, Matt, the Chiefs, what have the Chiefs shown you? What have they shown you to make you think they're good?
They have the best players on the field every time they go and stand on the field.
I don't agree with that. Matt, Patrick, we're so enamored of what we used to see in Patrick Mahomes.
Do you think Ryan Tannehill's better than Patrick Mahomes?
I do not, but I don't know.
Do you think Mac Jones is better than Patrick Mahomes?
These are straw man arguments, if you let me finish. Patrick Mahomes is a shell of his former self. Did I say that Ryan Tannehill was better than Patrick Mahomes? No, so take that to another show. You're not going to get over on that here. Patrick Mahomes is a shell of his former self.
I said they have the best players every time they step on the field.
I would disagree with that. I don't think they do.
Then I started asking you about the quarterbacks of all these other teams that are listed on this board.
We're talking about quarterbacks now specifically. You said the best players.
Okay, we'll go to wide receiver. Is Tyreek Hill not better than...
Titans have better wide receivers, plural, than the Chiefs do. Yes, they do. Sorry. Anything else? I just think your argument is so based on this notion that the Chiefs are still great. They're not. What did you see on Sunday? So what? They beat the Broncos. They could have lost.
Well, I mean, they were... Yeah, okay. I mean, yes. Right. Any team could lose. I mean, they didn't lose. They won by double digits. I mean, it's like...
They did. And good for them. But what I'm saying is the thing that I have trouble with is you sort of saying that somehow what you see at full strength in front of you is more valid than a team that is currently seated higher than them having the easiest schedule of the bunch, having a potential better track to the number one seed than they do, and you somehow disparaging that team as less of a shot. If you get the number one seed, that's the biggest advantage.
Okay, and you are still of the mindset that the Titans are going to end up as the number one seed.
I think it's them and the Patriots. You have to give the Patriots the nod, right? Because the Patriots are 9-4 and have one fewer games to play. So because they have one less game to play, the Patriots are the favorite for the number one seed. As they should be. But based on schedule, the Titans are number two.
I mean, it's just if that's the way the calculus is in all this, but I mean, it's not. It's the Patriots are the number one seed as we sit right now, and they have a fairly easy schedule moving forward.
Right, and they have one less game, which is why they should be the favorite.
Right, and then now, so then now that's Chiefs and Titans on the even playing field, and
Titans much easier schedule.
No. Once the number one seed is gone,
yes.
the Chiefs and Titans are on the same playing field. They still have to win the same amount of games to move on.
I don't understand the question. I didn't understand. Sorry, we have to go. I didn't understand the question, though. I really didn't. I was just trying to be difficult. We'll do the NFC, and we'll conclude the AFC talk next.
You are looking live at primetime action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I think we all agree that was our best segment ever. I think, rack it! So what do we conclude there? Kelly, what did you think? Break the tie for us.
I was really enjoying your guys' argument. But yeah, I actually trust the Chiefs the most because I do think that they've won, no matter how they've gotten it done, they've won five straight games. And
what a surprise. You agree with Matt.
Gil, I understand that they could get these players back and look full strength and look full steam ahead once the playoffs occur.
Do you understand that the team that you're banking on just looks terrible at full strength? Do you guys get that?
It'll look terrible. I don't know how you can say that.
Pretty terrible.
Even if you took
Patrick Mahomes can't figure out how to have mechanics anymore.
Let's stop comparing what the Titans and the Chiefs could be against each other. I trust the Chiefs more than I trust the Ravens or the Patriots. I do think, though, you make a great point with whoever lands that one seed. That automatically gives someone an advantage.
Mathematically,
I think the Patriots are going to be that team.
We do have to understand that mathematically, right? Like, the reason the Patriots have such an advantage now is they have one fewer game to play, and that win is banked. The reason the number one seed has such a distinct advantage over everybody else is they simply don't have to play a playoff game that everybody else does, and then they just have to get two home games done. So it's a massive advantage now, especially now that only one team gets that bye. So as long as we understand that. I don't trust... All of them have a flaw, right? That's the topic.
All of them have a flaw. All of them have a flaw. And that is why, I mean, that's really why I wanted to do this as a segment, because this was more just thinking myself. To me, it's the Chiefs, but it's not by much. And all four of these teams are very flawed, in my opinion, and could easily be bounced early in the playoffs.
This is from 702 AJ. More hope and a prayer conversation, please. He hashtagged open a prayer.
The Ravens are, by default, like this North leader, not by what they've shown. I mean, like,
absolutely. We can all agree on that.
If there is a true paper tiger on this board, it's the Ravens.
They also have the only one game lead. No, that's not true. The Chiefs do too. Chiefs, Chargers. So the Ravens and the Chiefs actually have someone. In the case of the Chiefs, they're literally a tiebreaker away from losing that division too. So the Ravens and the Chiefs are the ones that have the largest object in the rearview mirror. Ravens being the Bengals in the rearview. Patriots and Titans have a little more of a cushion. Although that Titans cushion is getting smaller.
Yeah, and the Ravens are, of those four teams, in their best form. So let's say we fast forward to 5 weeks and the Titans are back to full strength. The Ravens are by far the worst team on that board to me. Not even close.
Yeah. So if all those, and I do have to say this, Gil, if all those guys are back for the Titans, by far to me, Matt, it's the Ravens that I trust the least.
But do you see this Raven? The thing about this Ravens deal that's so crazy. I mean, it goes Browns, Packers, Bengals, Rams, Steelers for the Ravens to close out the season. Like, they might not be there. I mean, like, I understand they have a little bit of clearance here or something, but I mean, they might not be there in this.
Only a one game lead.
Where I think we're fairly confident at this point that the other three, I mean, I guess the Chiefs could completely, lose it. I guess the Patriots could fall off a cliff or something like that as well. But I mean, the way that they've played, I think that the other three, it seems pretty likely they're going to be there. This Ravens team with these remaining games, they're dogs to the Browns this week. They'll be dogs to the Packers. They'll be dogs to the Rams. And then there's games at Cincinnati where at this point, what? I mean, coin flip at best. Type situation.
Quote the Raven.
So, I mean, they're going to be dogs in three games, a coin flip in another, and then game, last game of the year against the Steelers, I guess they'll probably be,
Could you get that solo shot of me one more time, Kelly? Just wanted to see something. Do you have that solo shot? I never call for a shot. Oh, she's gone. Okay, never mind.
What was
that? So it's just somebody peering in.
Just staring in.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I was chuckling back here. There was
peering.
There was a young lady who stopped behind Matt. I think she was afraid to walk behind our studio. She did one of those, like, a walking and then, like, stopped herself when she saw that there was cameras inside.
Let me stop
anyone
here.
Watching who's sitting here going, like, I thought y'all said this place is all crazy and stuff. And I'll tell you why. And the reason this is not, like, just 9,000 people walking back, as I rolled up today, there were 8 full buses getting loaded up with people they were shipping 8 buses full of people down to the rodeo.
How long does this rodeo thing last? 2 weeks?
I think Sunday's the last day.
Oh, man.
Yeah, 2 full weeks of rodeo.
They are having a ball.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they are. And what's funny is we leave here every night. It's packed in here.
Packed.
No, but nobody's ever leaving. Like, all the Cowboys come to the Cowboy casinos, and they party at the Cowboy casinos. They don't leave. Like, there's nobody's, like, waiting out there for Ubers or cabs to go to the Strip or downtown or anything.
Well, the ones that want to leave have already, like I said, they've jumped in one of the 8 buses that just, like, shipped hundreds of people down to the
Thomas and Mack.
Yeah, down to the Thomas and Mack for this thing. I mean, it's massive. It's a huge, huge deal. There's a giant, like, trade show thing going on over at Mandalay Bay and the whole 9 yards. 2 weeks long, like, deal. You can, like, go down there and... That's where we should have gone and got your hat.
Let's flip into the NFC. Who do you trust the least of the division? You got a tweet, Gil?
Lauren Sanderson Peck. That was phenomenal. Gil and Matt with an edge of your seat, I think she means confrontation, on AFC driver seats. LOL, we need Kelly to devise a poll for us viewers to vote with which side we're on. Great moments, guys. I think we've had enough.
It's a great
polls.
Idea. Why it's working on the poll?
I think
right
we're
now.
Done.
I think we're done with polls.
I think we're done with unofficial polls around here. Yeah. Unofficial polls, I think we're done with those.
I tried to read the more neutral ones. But thank you to everybody who tweeted on that. All right. NFC division leader you trust the least. As Kelly said, that's how he couches this one. Everybody's clear. Well, Cowboys and Cardinals are 2 games ahead of the teams behind them, right? The Rams, who the Cardinals play this Monday night. Cowboys play the Washington football team this week. They're 2 ahead of them. Cowboys and Washington still with 2 to go. Cardinals won the first game against the Rams. So Cardinals win this game, it's almost Katie barred the door for the NFC West.
Yeah.
Same with the Cowboys, by the way, it should be noted.
So it is, for me, and I know that they have proven it on the field, and I totally get it. For me, it's still the Packers. Like, a team that is so incredibly reliant on one player. You look at the Bucs, right? And Brady continues to just every. So this week he decided, I just want to throw it to Mike Evans. It'll be it's a Gronk week this week, and Gronk goes out and has 7 catches, and they win games because he's scoring multiple touchdowns. And the Cowboys at least have the 3 different receivers when all healthy, and they also have Pollard and Zeke. And then you've got the Cardinals, who again, like, with a healthy Kyler Murray, he's a weapon at quarterback with his feet. And then you've got DeAndre Hopkins, you've got Rondale Moore, you've got both of the running backs going for this. So I know they've proven it on the field that they continue to get it done. It just seems like at some point throughout the playoffs, somebody goes, if they beat us with Marquez Valdez-Scantling, then if he goes for 10 catches and 185 yards, then so be it. But Devontae Adams is not going to beat us.
For me, the Buccaneers and the Packers are the two that I trust the most. And I hear what you're saying about Valdez-Scantling. But God, it doesn't seem to work out that way, does it?
No, I know. I know what I've seen. It just seems like somewhere along the way, somebody's like, just we're going to double team this guy every single route that he runs.
And I want to give the Cardinals the benefit of the doubt, despite Cliff Kingsbury, because they are the best team in football record wise. Kyler Murray is a absolute nightmare. So for me, the answer can only be the Cowboys.
And the other thing about the Cardinals that we haven't seen from these other teams as well is, should there be any sort of injury situation, we've seen this team win their backup.
That's a great point.
Like
Cole McCoy.
We've seen this team win with their backup, right? The Packers, when Aaron Rodgers didn't play a game, it was a JV football team out there with Jordan Love at quarterback.
Mike McCarthy is a serial poor decision in-game better. Now, he gets bailed out a lot by Dak or by Zerline. But it's the Cowboys.
So I will first say that I think I trust all 4 of these teams more than any of the AFC teams we just talked about, including the Chiefs. I trust all 4 of these more.
Me too.
But which team do I trust the least? It has to be the Dallas Cowboys to me.
It's because of
what we've seen, what we saw from Dak last week, which I thought was really concerning, which we don't really know how healthy he is. Something to me is still clearly wrong with that leg, and who knows how that might develop going further. We've seen what this team looks like without Amari Cooper on the field, which I find kind of odd a little bit sometimes when they do have that depth of talent at wide receiver, and it seems to affect them more than you would think it would. Zeke banged up still, so you don't exactly have that full strength 1-2 punch that we see. And I think there's more questions with this team as we kind of head into this later part of the season than the other 3 on this on this graphic. Now that we've seen the Cardinals really come back last week and look like the team that they were before Kyler was hurt. Having said that, I get the Packers' concern is it's a miracle what Rodgers and Adams continue to do year in and year out. It's incredible.
Those are interesting. The way you couched it was interesting. Nice job, Kelly. Well done. Kelly Bidlin,
thanks,
everybody.
Sir.
Kelly Bidlin, round of applause. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick yet to join us. We will talk to him from the Bet the Edge and Deep Dive podcasts at whale_capper. We'll talk to him and more. It's VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Primetime Action, don't forget about our College Football Bowl betting guide. It is available on December 13th, 6 days from now, only $19.99 U.S. Analysis of all 41 bowl games. I'll come back to it. Insights, trends, data, and predictions. Maybe you want to bet every single game. Maybe you're just looking for a few angles. Maybe you're looking for all. Here's the thing about College Football Bowl guide. It's all going to be in here. What coaches are gone? Who's interim? Who's playing a de facto home game, which players are gone, all of that at vsin.com/subscribe. That's the unique thing about College Football Bowl season, is you have to know all of that random stuff. It's unlike anything else on the sports betting calendar where coaches, head and assistant are, by the way, the promo's over, guys. You can.
They're waiting for me to say that it's 3471 Bulgarian Lev.
Now the promo's over.
There it is.
Sorry about that.
3471 Bulgarian Lev.
Sorry about that.
It's built in.
Drew probably knows that. Drew's like, oh, yeah, I knew that was Bulgarian Lev.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's built into the read, Gil. You don't see the part at the bottom that says, wait for
currency
Matt.
Exchange. Yeah. Bulgarian Lev.
Yeah. We'll talk to Drew in 15 minutes. He's going to be like, oh, yeah, I knew the currency of Bulgaria was Lev.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The Great Water Bowl.
My dad was born in Bulgaria, and I couldn't have called that Lev.
L-E-V.
Had no idea.
An L-E-V. I assume Lev. Lev. L-E-V. Lev.
The College Football Bowl thing is interesting, though, right? Because it's unlike anything else where it is. It's always been weird, even before the opt-out wave, where you did have to know, okay, did a team get to a bowl that they're disappointed with, right? They were hoping for a bigger bowl. They ended up in the Blue Bonnet Bowl.
Right.
Right? It's old school. Coaches. Did a coach head or assistant leave already? Is one interim, one foot out the door, whatever it is?
Are players holding out because they're going to go to the draft?
Well so this is the new thing. The whole layer now of opt-outs, which didn't exist before Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey one day said, hey, you know what? We don't have to play in this game. It was like the first day in my freshman year in college, like in October, the first rainy day in Boston, where me and my roommate looked across the room at each other and we said, if we don't go to this class, no one's going to say anything
it
to us.
It doesn't matter.
Wow. And the skip fest began. but now everybody's opting out, right? Thibodeau already announcing he's gone from the Oregon game. No surprise. We'll see. Will Sam Howell play for North Carolina? He says he will now. But by the time the game rolls around, will he be like, wait a minute, I'm going pro. Why am I doing this? I don't want to risk an injury. So I don't know. All of that in the bowl guide. Well, that's why they're waiting to put it out for 6 more days. The more information, the better.
Yeah, and with all that, so the I forget what bowl it is now that LSU's going to. So Max Johnson announced on Twitter just a little bit ago that he is going to enter the transfer portal.
Oh.
And so what that does is because they were going to redshirt Grant Nussmeier, they don't really have a quarterback to play. They don't really have a quarterback to play in the bowl game.
So that's good information,
so
right there.
It'll be like a walk-on guy or something who's going to be playing quarterback for LSU, unless they burn this kid's redshirt to play in a meaningless bowl game that like they got into because they happened to finish the season 6-6.
Is Nussmeier Doug Nussmeier's kid, by the way?
I don't know. I don't know. So it'll be interesting. That decision, I imagine, will be, whoever can handle snaps, I imagine, will take that because they're not going to burn this kid's red shirt for a bowl game that they got into that's when they're 6-6. And by the way, which takes place on January the 4th, which if you even knew there was a bowl game that takes place.
Right. So, the national semis are on December 31st. LSU is taking on the Kansas State Wildcats in the Texas Bowl.
On January the 4th.
On January the 4th, which is the no man's land between the semis and the championship.
Yeah.
I like Kansas State.
Yeah, as you should.
Especially based on what you just said.
Oh, as you should.
Yeah.
As you should. I can't imagine this game is probably still posted at this point.
You said off air. You said off air like when Brian Kelly was doing the whole Southern accent thing that he should have gone full troll.
He definitely should have just come out, handed him the microphone. He'd be like, it's a real big pleasure to be here. Like, he should have just done Orgeron instead.
The difference between Mario Cristobal at his press conference today answering questions in Spanish versus Brian Kelly trying to fake a Southern accent is just hilarious. Just hilarious.
How happy is Mario Cristobal? I don't know about it from a Miami perspective. Man, is that guy happy.
It honestly feels like it took too long for him to get there. It feels like he's been linked to that job in and out for the past 10 years now. So I think it's probably best situation for both him and the program, besides whatever's going on behind the scenes at Miami that is causing a lot of problems.
It is one of those things, though, like he has true love and affection for that.
And
for
he
that
believes, right. He believes, like anybody who takes that job, but he really believes as a homebred guy there that he'll be the guy to bring them back to prominence and keep all those Florida high school players right there in South Florida.
It's the old Howard Schnellenberger saying, all you got to do is recruit the three counties right there and you've got a national championship
what is it, Dade, Broward, and what?
Dade, Broward, Palm Beach.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's just, you look and the the mass exodus of those kids over the last decade.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
I mean, and even it's not even leaving not to go to Miami and go to Florida State, Florida. It's going to Alabama, LSU.
Nick Saban's listening to all this and just going like, yeah, okay, sure. Like, they're not going to come play for me.
It is the truth. Yeah. I mean, it's 100% the truth.
I know Matt Winnett loves when I bring this up. But anytime covering high school football down there, when the Saban chopper would arrive, oh, gosh. Saban would just chopper in on a weekday.
There's a Saban chopper?
Oh, there's a Saban chopper. Yeah, just chopper in on a weekday to meet with a recruit, and it's like the whole school would be around it. It's unfair. It's just unfair.
Saban chopper.
I doubt it's its official name, but that's what I always called it. I'm like, oh, there's a Saban chopper coming in.
Drew Densick to join us here momentarily from the Sports Edge, NBC Sports Edge, and Deep Dive podcast, NBC Sports Edge, Bet the Edge podcast, it should be noted. And we'll also talk about the odds to finish the regular season with the fewest wins. Now that the Lions have won a game, they're 1-10-1, but the Jaguars and the Texans both at 2-10, and we think they're worse than the Lions, so we'll take a look at that a little later on. Any NBA bets at all tonight?
I actually do, and I was going to I keep waffling back and forth whether to get in on this Brooklyn-Dallas game.
Down 14 now, the Nets.
Yeah.
The third quarter.
Dallas came out to play. Jason Kidd said some things about Luka. Needed to be better leader.
Taking him to task a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit, and they have responded well, so that's kind of – it's kind of keeping me away. I don't think I'm going to get involved. The problem is, too, is that it's right hovering right around the range. 14-point game in the third quarter. Do you know, how much do you trust the Nets to come back? Or does it get into such blowout range that some of these stars, like Durant, Harden, go and hit the bench, which could happen?
So you look, and it's kind of like we always do our little test here. And so you look, Nets, as you would expect, shooting 21% from three.
Yeah.
But then you go down and you look at the Mavs. And they're shooting 22% from three.
It's the turnovers.
So it's 9 turnovers to 3 right now, and that's the big difference.
Yeah. The one bet I do have tonight, I have a player prop in the later game. I took Dennis Schroeder's over points, over 19 points. Jaylen Brown out for the game tonight for the Celtics at the Lakers here tonight. Matt, I don't know about you, but usually we kind of got one star out. Usually don't look at right away, unless it's a good matchup. I don't look right away at going to the next guy, like the Tatum, to make up the points. It's usually who's the next guy down who's going to help, or the next guy or two down that are going to help make up those points.
It's really and truly where you get the edge in the player prop market is who gets actually extra run. Right. So it's not like – so the guys that – yeah, there'll be a point or two here and there for some of these other guys that are going to be playing the same amount of minutes as it is anyway. It's like, who's the guy that's going to get 10 extra minutes? Who's going to get 12 extra minutes in this game? And those are the guys you try to target.
So, and this is – okay, so the past two games that Jaylen Brown has been out, we were talking about Schroeder going 10 for 16 from the field and 10 for 21 from the field. Then go game before that, he only got 12 field goal attempts, 14 field goal attempts, 10 field goal attempts. So that's where my bet lies tonight. Over 19 points on Schroeder, who should get a lot of extra usage here tonight. And classic revenge spot. He had a big season with the Lakers last year. Okay?
We have a break, by the way, in this Nets game, so you might be able to get in on here a little unencumbered. They're down 12. Down 12.
If I can find a 9.5, I'm getting in. I see 8.5 right now.
That's your point right there. By the way, I asked this of Bespris this morning. If it's the Nets and the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's the Warriors and the Suns in the West, give me the team that will poke a hole in either of those. Nets and Bucks in East, Eastern Conference Finals, Warriors, Suns, Western Conference Finals.
Man. I want to say the Jazz or the 76ers.
Okay. I'm just glad you didn't say Lakers.
I think that's my answer is East and West.
I'm just glad you didn't say Lakers.
I'm saying 76ers, though, because I'm saying that means they make a Ben Simmons trade. I think it's going to happen.
You went Jazz over Lakers, and you went Sixers over Bulls, say, for instance. You think they're making a trade?
Yeah,
interesting. Drew Densick next. VSiN's Primetime Action.